Yeah, it should be. So there is in fact two goals. First is to be able to detect inconsistency between two data sets. And the other goal is the ability to train a model on a small area and then to predict on a larger one. So in fact, there is two goals, and you can use one or the other. I will maybe just wait for one single minute to let them come. So the first goal is with the detected inconsistency is the ability with an imagery and with something else to spot if there is inconsistency tile by tile between the two. And the other one, you train a model on a small area with accurate labels, and on the model it's trained, it on a wide area with similar imagery and landscape, and you predict at scale. That's the two kind of thing we can achieve with this kind of tool. And I go on. So what kind of solution do you use? We use RoboSat.pink. It's a computer vision framework dedicated to geospatial imagery. And its aim is to perform three kind of features: data quality analysis, change detection, and feature extraction. One thing, pings matter. Pings matter because there is in fact two projects, RoboSat and RoboSat.pink. If you want to have any further information about the why and the how and so on, there is a link with a description related to that. How does it work in concept? First, you have to train a model. It's a supervised model. Supervised training. So here your model has to be trained with label from an imagery. And it's trained with a loss function dedicated to extract meaningful information from the difference between these two data sets. So once you've trained this model enough, you can only use your imagery with the trained model and predict something related to the kind of label you train your model with. So if you train with buildings, you've got buildings. If you train with forest, you've got forest, and so on. And the point here is also to compare your prediction with something else. And something else could be, for instance, OpenStreetMap vector data, or something else. And since you've got this process, you're able to train a model and to compare with alternate data set. What kind of imagery are we able to handle? Raster coverage, web services in input, and related to vector, it could be OSM, Protobuf, PostGIS, GeoJSON. So the only point is to have an imagery readable by GDAL and georeference, and here a vector. That's it. Since you've got that in input, you're able to train your model and to generate mass prediction. And once you've got mass prediction, you're able to compare them, to specify differences area, and so to extract vector from your mask. So that's the whole process. What kind of information can we spot in the output? Here we configure the mask to be in pink, and so automatically, the label will be configured to be in green because it's the complementary color. So if you superpose pink and green, it became gray. So here it's pink, it means that only the model detects something. It's only here in green, it means that only the information is provided by the label. And here it's because it's beneath a tree. So the aerial information can convey any meaningful information about that. And if it's in gray, it means that both agree. And so mask and labels are agree. You should be on time. So how does it work? It works by small command lines. So you don't have the need to program in Python. If you want, you can. but it's not mandatory. And you can launch it only with small command lines tools. Somehow it's a bit like GDAL. If you already use something like GDAL on the command line, it's really the same kind of small tools you can chain together to pick only the ones you need for dedicated process. How can we play with? There is a tutorial, 101, and with the tutorial you can, in only 3-4 hours, launch all the steps with an imagery, a training, and prediction, and a compare. So if we look up online on the 101, what we do here, we configure the whole stuff, so it's only a few lines of configuration file. We retrieve an imagery, it's the one in Tanzania, who have been built up by drone last year. We tile all the imagery on this area and also on this also area. It's provided by the imagery. And so here, up, it's tiled at the zoom level. It's 11 with retina tiles. So it means that it's double size tiles. It's really slow about the connection, so maybe I have to go in another place where it's already uncached. Yep, here. So, the imagery. Once we've got the imagery, we retrieve JSON label and we process them with only one single line to grab the labels. Once we've done that, we can create a data set, train the model, and thereafter predict, retrieve a new imagery from another place, tile it again, retrieve the official OpenStreetMap data on this new area, and we create the prediction from the trained model. And so once we've done that, we can thereafter compare the both. So by comparing the both, we can have something who look like that. And on all the places where we launch the prediction on the new imagery and with the official OpenStreetMap data, we can spotify the differences between the two. And each time you've got here a pink square, it means that there is a meaningful differences between the two data sets. The one who came from the trained model and the one who came from the official OpenStreetMap data. And you just have to zoom on the place where there is pink square and you get this kind of prediction. And because it's only in pink, it means that it's not present on the official OpenStreetMap data at this moment. It could be because there is no feature or because they are not labeled as building. So sometimes they are really on the data set, but not rightly flagged on the attribute part. So it's really a time saver tool to help to spotify and to pick up only the places where there is inconsistency and you don't have the need to zoom and to care about other kind of data. Okay, so it's easy to deploy. It's just a single line, pip3 install robots.ping and everything comes with it. That's it. So all you need is imagery, GPU, few skills and labels. So as imagery, anything readable by GDAL. As a GPU, at least 8 giga RAM from NVIDIA. And it works in collab. As initial skill, at the very least, geospatial data and command line fluency. That's all. But the key point is the labels. Because there is a lack of open data set available, there is several initiatives to list them, to list all the open data set related to geospatial. But because the labels is a very expensive task, we are lack of accurate enough labels. Why I say that? Because here it's an aerial imagery. So if you took OpenStreetMap footprints It's a good start. It will perform some good results, but it will be really different if it roof prints, because it's an IRL imagery. And a few pixels could make such a difference at the end. So it's not because you have already all the features labeled that it will be a good enough training data set if you want really high accurate quality. So using this is enough for change detection, but it's not enough if you want to directly extract the feature in one pass. The key concept is garbage in, garbage out. If you have low quality labels in input, you will have low quality mask prediction in output. What could be an ideal open data set? It will be open data compliant. It will convey a lot of landscape from worldwide, be in big resolution tile, and mixed bands, resolution, and sensory imagery, and obviously convey several kinds of labels, building, roads, vegetation, and so on, with pixel accuracy. I insist on that. If you have a line related to a road, it's not enough. We must have the surface of the road to be able to perform well with this kind of approach. Last year, there is a talk about that in Milan, and no significant progress been made on these release topics since last year. So today, there is a discussion at 3 o'clock in Kleiner Hall. So if you are interested in how we can create an ideal open data set, or at least to improve the open data set stuff with OpenStreetMap initiative, thanks to COM. Right now, what can we do if we don't have an ideal open data set? We can do it in two paths. So there is another tutorial who help you to create a better data set, even if the first one is not perfect. So what do we do? We retrieve an imagery from Open Data. It's a city in France, it's called Lyon, and we retrieve from the official city metropole the imagery. We retrieve also the official roof print attribute from the city. We create a training data set, we train it, we predict, and then we compare. And that is interesting in the compare, that there is a lot of places where here you can spot that there is inconsistency, and it looks like here there is missing maps in the official open data from the city. So what will we do is to retrieve only the ones where there is a significant difference, and it's something like 10% of the whole tile data set, and create with this small tool a way to compare them. And when it's something related to the model, because we train it only with few epochs, so really quickly, we keep it. But when it's related to a missing maps in the official data, we select it to be able to remove these tiles from the training data set for further training, and we can do it really quickly. So because we reduce the amount of tile to check by a factor 10, and because this tool allow you to really make quick decision. So at the end, we just copy the tool we select to the clipboard, and that's it. So it helps us to really quickly make a good decision to extract the only kind of tile we want, and so to improve the data set to train. And so at the end, with a pure open data data set, we can improve it and get better results than official open data set convey. Up. So RobotSetPing is also interesting because it's It uses state of art computer vision loss function. There is data augmentation, and it's also something you can extend by design. So it's a plugin mechanism. So, for example, if you want to change a metric, change a model, you can plug it, and that's it. The stack is a design about a Phosphor-G stack. There is computer vision and deep learning component. It's open source. And because it's open source, there is several subjects we already identified to be improved. So if you want to participate, you're very welcome to send a pull request or to found some subject if you want to make it improve again. As a performance matrix, so 1 megapixel is related to 16 tiles or 4 retina tiles, and there is here some metrics related to the performances we can already achieve on here a low-cost GPU server. It scales, so if you want to train it faster, you just have to add more GPU. If you want to tile it faster, you add to add more CPU. And if you want to predict faster, you can use an external dedicated inference high-performance system and export the model in NNX format. How to use that with a cost-effective approach? If you want your own server, it could be used only by GPU and CPU cost-effective approach with something not that expensive. And if you want to use it on the cloud, you can also. So it's something affordable even with cost-effective approach. And why performance matter? Because for yourself, when it's something going fast, you can learn. You can change some parameters and learn from your last experience and improve it. Obviously, it's a time and money saver. And also, it saves computation time and so help to reduce the carbon cost of the whole stuff. So why using deep learning for mapping? So it's an easy to specify at scale inconsistency between two data sets. And if you provide good labels on imagery, you can infer on a large scale similar new imagery. Why using your broadside pink? Because there is quite an integration with all the OpenStreetMap ecosystem. The web UI I show you is integrated with all the commands, so you have nothing to do in more. It's high performance, it's easy to deploy, compliant to the standard. It can also handle multi-band imagery and data fusion. It's accurate, it's accessible by design, and it's open source. It's provided by DataPink. And as a takeaway, the message is to say that you already have an industrial solution to perform such a thing. The performance is already okay to use it for instance, a region, a small country, even on a cheap GPU server. And it scales, obviously, if you provide better hardware. So you can use it on something bigger if you provide the right infrastructure. There is no need anymore to be a computer vision expert to play with. You only have to be able to understand your data and what you want to achieve with. Plain open data can be used to train a model even if it's a bit longer. And what will be a game changer, I said it again, it will the ability to have a pixel accurate labeling training open data set. That will change everything. So for those we are interested in, there is a discussion at 3. Thanks.
Thanks, Oliver, for an enlightening session. If anybody else needs to talk to him further, I think he'll be in the foyer in the breakout sessions. Now, I think we can take a few questions just for 5 minutes. Okay.
What about transfer learning? Are there any pre-trained models available?
About the model, it's a unit like with a ResNet 50 as an encoder. And by default, it's already trained on ImageNet. So by default, it's already a fine-tuning system. You can, on the configuration file, choose to suppress the pre-trained stuff and train it from scratch if you want. So it's open. And if you want to bring your own model, I said it's extensible by design. So you just put your own model in the model directory and call it by its name from the configuration file. And that's it. So you have a total. You can do what you want about this point. Yeah.
So I understand that it's pixel-wise predictions, but do you do anything with node data? Node. So single points as opposed to outlines.
I'm not sure to understand.
Well, a building could be labeled as an outline, or it could be labeled as a single dot.
Oh, yeah. In fact, here, we classify each pixel.
Yes.
So each pixel, it will be, in fact, for instance, here, a building, no buildings, or it could be a forest, no forest, and so on. So if what you have in your label is only single dots, it will be really hard to make it understand what you want. So it will really be something work already with surface, so with polygons. With linear, it will be harder because the topology itself means, and so it will be really harder if it's only single lines. Mm. And with dots, it will be even harder because it's only small dots on the ground.
Thank you. Hi. Great work. Great work. Open source models. I love them. I like the idea of having a tool to assess the quality of the labeling in the training set. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, why can't you already automate the classification of the tiles as good as if they're good or not? Because mm-hmm. I mean, if as the examples that you were showing, they were pretty obvious. There was a prediction and no label on top of it, so mm-hmm. you can already discard that automatically.
In fact, the point is. If we look to all the labels where there is an inconsistency at first, it could be either because there is a lack of the labels, or it could be because the model is not able at this point to classify it well. For instance, something a bit tricky, it didn't see it enough, and if you train it only on few epochs, at this moment is not already able to classify it well. So it's the reason because a human could make a better decision, but we won't bother a human to make a decision on the whole data set, but only on the few where there is a doubt. So that's the approach.
So what was recall then? Because I mean, you can say, you look at recall, so you can look how many buildings you lose on average per image. So you can have an idea of how much you're losing. You know what I mean?
In fact, on this one, I have 20K tiles. I have only to check on 2,000, and I remove something like 500. Yeah, on this example.
Okay, thanks, everybody. I think our session has come to an end. It's time to prepare for the next session.